Have you ever wondered if you could actually sell your products before you have them in hand? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today on the Because I Can Live podcast. So let's dig in. Hey, you're listening to the Because I Can podcast, where we believe we can decide our own income, choose happiness, kick fear in the teeth, and never, ever stop. Why? Because we can. I'm your host, Allison J. Prince, and I went from being a junior high science teacher to building 4 online multi-million dollar businesses with 4 kids at my feet. Each week, I'm bringing you real conversations that have led me, as well as other experts, to step into our dream online business lifestyle so that you can get the answers you need to craft your Because I Can life as well. Take that first step and commit now to your Because I Can life by downloading your free personal bundle at becauseicanlife.com/bundle. Hey, welcome to the Because I Can Life podcast. I'm Allison, and today we're digging into all things pre-sell. Yes, when all the details of how you can sell products before they're actually in your hand. This helped me a ton in my early days of starting my online business so that I could create money to be able to pay for products and then ship them out to my customers as soon as they came in. And we've got Vanessa today. She's been doing this. She launched her store June of 2020. And wait till you hear the end. She reveals her sales of how much she has sold by doing it with not only pre-sale items, but licensed. So Disney products. And how she's been able to create this amazing business that her whole family is so excited that she is doing. So get your pens, your pencils out, your paper out. You got to have something to write on. And we're going to walk through the process of how to pre-sell. Let's do this. Vanessa, hi. How's it going?
Great. I'm excited. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yes. Okay. So catch us all up. Tell us a little bit about you, a little bit about the backstory. I have so many questions that I want to ask you. You're on fire.
Of course. Thank you. I started my business in 2018, but it wasn't until 2020 that picked up in the middle of the pandemic. So it just happened. I always dreamed of having my own boutique. I think I've been an entrepreneur since I was born. I just didn't know it until I found you. So.
Yes, I love when I can pull that out of people.
Yeah. So basically, I'm new here. I'm new in the States. We are new, literally. I mean, we came here about 4 years ago.
Where are you from?
I'm from Venezuela.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so I've always debated with having an accent when going live, but that hasn't stopped me because
no,
I still go.
It shouldn't. It's beautiful accent.
Thank you. So my family and I have lived in different countries. We have migrated every 3 years. We had to move. And just when I got here, I said, I don't want to continue to work for other companies. I want to have my own business. So if I'm going to spend so much time on what I do, what I love doing, then it might as well be for me and for my kids and to leave a legacy for them. So I decided to start searching for something that brought me joy, not only when I purchase it, but also when I deliver it. And I started my boutique selling clothing. It just wasn't for me. It didn't work. I tested a few vendors and it just wasn't for me. Until one day I went to Disney and I walked into this store that just blew my mind away. And I was like, I want to sell these. Can I sell this? I'm sure if this store is selling it, why can I not do that? So I started searching for vendors and I got to the place that I wanted to be. It's like I decided I'm going to go and sell licensed merchandise because it's what brings me joy, I guess. And that's how it started. I started looking for vendors that would have, that would sell licensed products and became a wholesale for a bunch of them. So. That's how I ended up in selling licensed merchandise.
Okay, so let's back it up because there's so much goodness in here. So
ask me questions. It will be easier for me.
No, you're doing so good. I love it. Okay, so how many kids do you have?
Two.
So 4 years ago, you moved to the United States. Mm-hmm. Did you have a job then?
No, I was just looking after them and trying to set up everything that you need to set up when you move to a new country, going through. So I've been doing this every 3 years. So it takes me about a year to really, you know, establish myself emotionally, physically, family, kids to school, and all that. Sure.
And like even finding light switches in a new home, right?
Yeah.
Like, you think they're, the light switch would be on this wall and it's not, and it's on the other wall. You have to train your brain and it takes you a lot of brain space. I know something so small, but it's so true. Okay. So yeah. You come over, you've got two kids, you're getting all settled and you're like, I want to start a business. Did you have a lot of money to invest in product?
Nothing. It was nothing. I had nothing. I asked my husband, can you fund me for a little bit? But since I've been an entrepreneur for a long time, he's been funding me for like forever. Just a few things here and there. Like I want to start, I don't know, teaching Spanish classes. So I need a small capital for that. And then he would support me. And then the motivation would go away and he'll be like, okay, let's start another something else. So he sort of knew me. And this time he was like, oh, another business idea. And I was like, well, yeah, but this one, you know, this time I was a little sure. I knew because I had your course. So
makes me so happy. Okay. So you were pulled into, were you in a Disney store? Like, where did you come up with the idea? I want to sell Disneyland or Disney bags. How did
it was a little bit about spreading joy as well and having a product that people would be happy with when they receive them. Or when, you know, having the wow moment when somebody sees your product, I think is priceless. So, you know, I've seen people do that with different products, but with the products that I selected that I am happy selling, it was sort of encouraging, you know, and it started by one day I had created my, I didn't know what I was going to do. I had created my social media and I started posting accessories from different kinds because I wanted to do accessories as well or clothing, sort of do like a boutique. So I started posting bracelets, started putting clothing until I found a handbag, a backpack that I liked that I was a license and I posted on my social media and I realized that it had more reaction than everything else that I had posted before. And I thought, so there's something here, you know, people are liking this sort of merchandise. So, and I like it too. I mean, I wouldn't post anything that I didn't like. And that's how I realized maybe this is how I could start if it's possible. Cause it was hard for me to know I could sell licensed merchandise. Cause it was
I hope everybody's catching this right now. Vanessa is like looking at her store and her store's giving her the answers of where to move forward. A lot of times people force it and they're like, oh, but I got to sell this product. And they forget about the thing that's actually selling. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, talk about how, because we all know if you go and you go to China and you say, hey, make me this Disney bag. Like that's totally against the rules. Like Disney will come after you and it is, you don't play that game. So how did you get licensing to be able to sell Disney product?
So in order for you have to contact companies that are already licensed for them, for those brands that you're looking for. The companies that I use generally, I mean, if you have one license, they generally have more than one license that they work. So they sell accessories. Sometimes I find a company that sell bracelets that have 2, 3, 4 different other licenses that are, you know, that are into my niche because I'm already narrowing down 2, 3, 4, 5 licenses that I'm working with that my customers like. So I don't want to expand because I mean there are tons of licenses out there. Sports, Disney, Star Wars, Harry Potter. I mean, those are the licenses that I work with. And I think they're all under the pop culture umbrella. I came to know later on. Not that I knew that at the beginning. So it's finding the companies that already have the license. If you want to get a license, then it's a complete different route. So the first thing I did, I went into Disney website and they have a list of companies they work with. And I started knocking on doors. Can I work with you? Can I sell your merchandise? And a bunch of them told me no until I found one that said yes. So.
So good. So good. Okay. So you yourself, you don't have a license, but you work with companies that do have licenses. And then you have to apply.
Yes.
And then you had people tell you no, which no is a regular occurrence in the entrepreneur world, right? Like just get used to it. It happens. And then you found one and they sell Disney. What else do they sell?
Now this particular company sells Disney licensed handbags, and they're starting venturing into clothing now. But I do work with another company that I think up until now, I am working with three different companies that sells Disney licensed merchandise, because that's the brand that I wanted to work with initially. And then I work with another two companies that sell jewelry, licensed jewelry as well. So what that means is that the box that you have to, you know, your bracelet, your necklace is going to be Disney licensed, which is not coming from China. Well, you have to package and put, you know, your touch, your spin into it. That's not allowed when, you know, when it comes to licensing products, because people don't want fake products.
Nobody sell knockoffs. Okay. Correct. So now you go to their website, you've been admitted. And they say, yeah, go ahead and sell this product. How did you set it up to where you didn't have to shell? I mean, because you're selling really nice handbags. It's not just cheap $1.50 handbags. You're selling high-end backpacks and handbags that are all Disney licensed. And talk about the process of how you were able to get sales without actually having to buy the inventory.
Initially, I started with very little inventory because at the time, the minimum quantities, the MOQs were low. Now, things have changed drastically. But what I started doing, what I noticed is within the niche that I chose, pre-sales is pretty common. And if you are familiar with Disney shops, they have Disney merchandise that they pre-sell to customers. And sort of, I think that sort of customers is used to that. So what I noticed is what are other stores doing? So I went ahead and realized that there was a big pre-selling opportunity for handbags that are coming into the market, not for the month that you're selling them for, but for the following month. So a lot of customers want to grab their hands on those bags before they come to the market, because they sell out very quick.
Okay.
And that's, I think, where it happens, where the pre-orders happen, or me pre-selling them to people that want to have them before anyone else.
Okay. This is making me smile from ear to ear. Okay. So in it, you touched on what a pre-sell is, but can you really explain, like, what if someone has never heard the word pre-sell, what does that mean?
So currently the process is that I do have to place an order with my merchant, and I tell them, okay, I'm going to order 100 handbags for this particular model, and I want 50 matching wallets of that particular model. So they generally provide us with a catalog of all the items they have, and we choose the items that we want to purchase. We place that order. Right now, it's really way in advance. Previously, it used to be a couple of months ahead. Now it's like 6-7 months ahead of when the orders are coming in. So once I place an order with them, we have the permission to pre-sell those bags only 1 month before they come to the market.
Okay.
And that's for the majority of my bags. It doesn't happen for all the suppliers, but this is the one that I work with that is more successful. So they will tell you, like every license, or every merchant will tell you the rules that they have with the particular items. Because the thing with licensing merchandise, and it's a little more difficult, is that it's not allowed to sell them on Amazon, some of them. You're not allowed to sell them on eBay or sell them through any other third-party channels. So pretty much it's your website. And, you know, not all of them will let you to sell them anywhere. So each merchant has their own rules and you need to follow them. Otherwise you'll forfeit the contract and they won't sell you anymore. So once we get that order in, we are allowed to pre-sell them one or two or whatever it's said in the contract. In my case, is the majority of them 1 month prior to them coming to the market. So let's say if these handbags are coming at the end of July, I can sell them on the 1st of June.
Okay.
And so we are not, today's June 29th. So tomorrow night, we're going to have a pre-order for what's coming in, the collection coming in August.
To put the money down on these, or do you pay when you actually receive the merchandise?
So we pay when we receive the merchandise.
So you'll have like 30 days to sell however mm-hmm. many you decide, like whether it's 50 or 100.
Mm-hmm.
What was the very first order amount? Did you have to say, oh?
Initially it was like 3 handbags per design, per model. So now it has increased to 8 or 10, depending on the item. And yeah, so they just increased the numbers of MOQs.
I love that. Like 8, I mean, worst case scenario, you have 8 bags. I mean, that's Christmas presents that you got for a discount, right? So I love that the thought process of, you know, let me just try these 8 and see what happens,
mm-hmm.
right? It just gives you so much opportunity to go out there and test your product. Like how, I love this stuff. I love
it. Yeah. So ever since I realized that pre-selling was a big part of my niche, I went on and did it the first time. So the first time I had a pre-sale was the first night I hit 10K in 2 hours. So it was
Whoa. I need you to say that again, because I want to make sure everybody understood. Say that one more time, Vanessa.
So my first 10K, they were last year, I think in June last year, actually, yeah. So it was my first pre-sale. It was $10,000 on one night.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. Okay, you got to take one more step. When did you actually launch this store?
Last year, in 2020, and June. No, it was, sorry. I launched the store in 2018, November, but I was selling clothing. And then I changed my approach. But my first sale started coming at the end of May 2020. So I officially call it last year.
Okay, so you put up your products in May. And then you launched in June officially. And then that was when you had a $10,000 day.
Mm-hmm. Night, 2 hours.
Night. Oh, that's, yeah.
2 hours. 2 hours. Yeah.
2 hours. 2 hours. Okay. So a couple of things, like I am a huge fan of pre-sales. Absolutely a huge fan of pre-sales. But one thing, which Vanessa, I know you know very well, you've got to make sure your manufacturer is dependable. Because Vanessa, what would have happened if you would have you sold these $10,000 in bags in 2 hours and your manufacturer never actually got you the product? What would happen?
It has happened.
Okay, what did you do?
So what happened is you pre-order way in advance with your supplier and you need to trust that they're going to deliver. And up until that time, I had trust the suppliers I was working with. At one point, I placed an order. I pre-sold the items and then they couldn't fulfill because they sold out.
Mm.
So then I had to face very angry customers and tell them, I'm so sorry. I cannot fulfill your order because of whatever reason. Any reason, I mean, you could tell them it was on me. It was on them. It doesn't matter. Customers are not going to like that answer. So yes, it has happened. It could happen. You just need to be ready to deal with it. But I mean, the suppliers that I work with right now, I am pretty, like, I have learned to know that if I am going to place a second order of whatever item that, you know, it did well, I will not sell that second part until they're almost here, until I receive confirmation that they're coming. Because I know these things could happen. The good thing of us pre-ordering way in advance with them is that that's going to ensure our shipping is going to come. When we start placing second, third orders, that's when things may go wrong. So I've come to learn the process with our suppliers. And so now I'm comfortable with the system that I have in place.
I love this so much because it's true. Like if you go out there and you're just very first time with a manufacturer and you're going to pre-sell, that's way too much risk. You have to get to know your manufacturers on an individual basis. Like, how do they react? What do they do? When do they contact? Because you have to be the ones that have to, if something were to go wrong, to share it with your customers. And you worked so hard to get these customers in the door that if this continues to happen, they're going to leave, right? Correct. Did you do something like in the past when we've had something happen, we've given like 10% off on your next purchase, or we threw in a goodie. Did you do anything like that?
At the beginning I would do like either free shipping or we would give discounts for pre-order night. And then some of our merchants came back and said, you can't do that. So then, okay. You know, it was because 2020 was an odd year for everyone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of the rules that we had initially sort of changed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, whenever I can, I run promotions. It's not always allowed because of depending on the merchant, because of the discounts it will affect the brand overall. So, you know, you just have to learn your ways. But I do it from time to time, of course, when I can.
Mm, okay. I love that. So when you said the very first order, you're like, I just want to order, I think you said 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then why did you choose 4 instead of, let's say, 100?
Well, to test the waters. I wasn't sure whether that was going to be the supply or whether that was going to be a winning product. But my very first order sat with me for months because I ordered, I had it, I showed it to my friends. They were like, oh, that's so cute. That's for kids. I was like, no, it's not for kids, because what happened is that this particular brand and the suppliers that I'm working with are not for kids, are for women. There was a gap in the market, pop culture, that needed accessories that they do look childish, but they're not for kids, they're for women. So my friends were my customers for sure. And I sat with that product for months until I decided to join some Facebook groups that were my people. And I call my people because it's just, I think somewhere I heard, if you want to find your customers, try to go where they are.
Yeah, and exactly it. Yeah.
So where do people that use these handbags hang out? I thought, well, let me just start searching for Facebook groups, Instagram hashtags, until I found a community of collectors. And I said, uh-huh.
Nice.
So this Brilliant. Is where they are. And then I started sort of understanding how they talk, then, you know, certain words they use, how do they interact with each other. And that's how I started, you know, having followers. And then I decided to open a Facebook group where the collectors could buy and sell among them. So I could provide the information of my company, because if they're collectors, they're going to buy somewhere, and it might as well be from me.
Might as well be from you, Vanessa. Okay. So when you're talking to your manufacturer, you're looking at your supplier, and I'm using supplier and wholesaler interchangeably, but you say, okay, I want these 3 bags. Mm-hmm. Do you actually order one to start taking pictures of to get samples? What is your process when you first started? And then what is your process now that you've trusted your manufacturers?
Well, generally the pictures coming from them. Generally they send us the pictures ahead of time.
Okay.
Because about 15 to 20 days before the merchandise arrives to the ports, or before they even deliver to us, they already have real life photos. Mm-hmm. So that's when they send them. And I use their pictures. And once I get the merchandise, if they're not sold out, then I take pictures of the ones that I have remaining.
Okay. Okay. So good. So when they send you your suppliers, say, okay, this is what's coming up. Here's our catalog. Mm-hmm. Vanessa, how do you know which ones from that catalog? Because I'm sure it's more than just one product. How do you know which are the ones that are going to sell?
So initially, I mean, let's say on average, we could have from 30 to 50 items in a monthly catalog.
Okay.
And well, that's for one supplier. Now, other suppliers have hundreds. So let's just say that from 50 items in one catalog, I used to follow my instinct of things that I liked. And then you start knowing what sells and what doesn't. So the things that I didn't sell that sat on my warehouse for a little longer, then I started doing a little bit of research, whether, you know, certain princesses sell better, certain characters sell better, and why would they do that? And I started realizing that it has to do with the buying power. So the oldest princesses will sell better. Because there is also, in the merchandise that I sell, there's an emotional connection too with the characters that you feel more identified with, whether it's a new movie or an old movie. We also sell Marvel and Star Wars. So to me, I was pretty big on Marvel. I felt like, okay, female power, let's go with the Wonder Woman. I love everything from her. And I wouldn't sell her products. Well, I was like, what's going on? I don't know what's happening. I love them. And then with time, I started realizing that, okay, so which were the movies that this particular generation watched? So then I started being targeting a little better the items that I was purchasing. So I had to do like a reverse study of what happened there. And it works. So younger princesses don't sell that well because their buying power is not there. They're too young to buy a $70 handbag.
Mm-hmm. That's so fascinating. And okay, so this is why I'm totally like geeking out. And I love that you're sharing all this really good stuff. But Vanessa, like one of your strengths is you've learned how to read the numbers that are coming in. And it's not like math, geometry, like freaking out numbers. You're literally saying, okay, what's selling? What's not selling? And then you're thinking, why is it selling? Oh, this is why. And so now when you go choose product, you've got so much information and it's helped refine your ability to choose the products that are going to sell.
Yes. I have to sign up to different like blogs of when movies are going to be released. For example, when WandaVision launched, we were selling WandaVision. And if I had known a lot more of that particular brand or of how good the TV show was doing, I would have probably purchased more. It was a big seller and I had ordered very little. So it also taught me that I had to also look at the new releases, what movies are coming into the market and any particular time in order. You have to, depending on the brand or the license that you want to work with, you have to look at all the aspects. It's not what the catalog has, but it's also the buying power is there. Is there any movie going to be released that's related with that particular license? And if so, then of course I'm going to order a little more of that. So it's trying to read in between the lines.
Yeah, I was reading something the other or listening to something the other day, and Mr. Rogers, he said mm-hmm. that when we read books, it's mm-hmm. not the black ink that we're supposed to absorb, like the letters we're supposed to absorb. It's the spaces in between that we learn from. And I thought that was so powerful. Like so many times I see entrepreneurs, like their headspace is like, okay, this is not logical. This is not logical. And then they stop. But then when it's led from their heart, like what you did, you were led from your heart and you're like, my friends are telling me that nobody's going to buy these bags, but I feel in my heart, this is a direction I need to go. And you did it. And you mm-hmm. had, like, you knew the information and you were learning the information, but you were looking in that white space. That's what you're doing with your numbers right now.
I'm still learning. I mean, by all means, I don't feel like I'm there at all.
I don't think anybody ever does, because there's always so much to learn, right?
Yeah. I feel like I'm in diapers when it comes to my business and that there's so much to learn.
I think you're potty trained. I think you're good.
Yeah, I am. That's a Spanish saying, sorry, but yeah, I am translating it. It sounds funny now. Yeah, so it's you never feel ready. It's always been, well, so a trial and error, but also using a little bit of logic as well. I had this particular situation happen to me since I opened my business, and I thought it's important that I share it, because if I had known that that was going to happen, I would have never probably launched my business. So I was using one of these companies that provide credit, that gives credit to your customers. Mm-hmm. It's called Afterpay.
Oh, and yeah.
by all means, I mean, if you're happy using it, continue using it. They just don't do well with pre-ordering or pre-selling.
Oh, that's so good to know. I hope everybody heard that. Okay, so good to know.
So when I signed up with them, I wasn't pre-selling. I just had the intention of selling stuff that I had in stock. So 2-3 months down the line after I started making good sales, something must have flagged my account that was pre-ordered, maybe the delivery time, because I think they only allowed up until 14 days for shipping. And so my account was flagged and they suspended my account until they started an investigation. First, they checked if I was a licensed provider, because that's going to happen a lot. Shopify shut me down and they checked that my licensee was in place. Any credit bank provider, PayPal, will shut you down until they check that you are a licensed vendor if you're selling licensed merchandise. Mm-hmm. So they did that. They checked that I was a legit vendor. Then the second thing they told me is like, we do not allow pre-orders. So sorry, but there you go. And they blocked 3 months of my sales.
Wow.
3 months. I still had to pay my credit cards. I still had a lot of things to pay. And they had basically taken 3 months of my sales and they would not pay them to me until I delivered the goods. So we all know what happened last year with shipping. Everything was delayed. So what was supposed to be a month became 2 months or more for me that I was pre-selling. So it was a bit of a challenge, but I faced it with dignity. And I had, I waited the time that I had to wait. So at that time I had to get a loan to fulfill what I didn't have, which was mine, but it wasn't mine yet. So this company told me, okay, we'll give you what we owe you once you deliver the last item. That happened. And it was really hard for me as a startup company to have to, I didn't have my sales for 3 months until I delivered the last item. And now I look back and I said, it was just a great experience to go through, because it just taught me that if I knew that was going to happen before I started my business, if I had let fear take over, I would have not moved forward. But now that I looked at it and I went through it, I was just excited to open and start my business, and I did. And anything that came, any negative or anything that came through, was not bigger than my motivation. So I was able to just go around that, and yeah, it just like now I look at it, and it's just, it's okay. I'm glad it happened because it taught me a lesson.
Positivity. Like, can we all take note of that? Like, that was something super hard that you're faced with. Your customers need their product. Your vendors need the money. And yeah. Someone else is holding it basically hostage until you prove that you're going to deliver the products. And I mean, everybody's right in this situation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understood that. Yeah. It wasn't personal. It's not. Okay. So the thing of any challenge that comes your way, or at least in my experience, is there's nothing personal. These are numbers. These are banks. These are entities. And I could tell them all the emotional stories about Disney that I could, but they weren't going to buy that. Like, that wasn't enough. I was like, what do I do? What do I tell them? It's just a numbers game. It's like when an employee tells you, we're going to let, you're laid off. It's not your fault. It's just, they can't pay you anymore, or something happened. And,
yeah. But how you found a way around it, and you said, you know what? There's a bump, and there's always going to be bumps in entrepreneurship. Like, that's what our role is as CEO and owner, is we're problem solvers, and we're really good at problem solving. I mean, we're alive today because we've been such good problem solvers, right? We figure out how to wash our hands to keep us free of illness or whatever. Constantly problem solving. Mm-hmm. Okay. So first off, tell us your store and where people can find you. And then I have another couple questions for you.
Yes. So my store is Spell Boutique, www.spellboutique. And should I spell it? Type it in the chat.
Go for it.
So SPELLBOUTIQUE.com.
That's such a great name, by the way.
Thank you.
And then Instagram, same
spell. So on Instagram, it's going to be @spellboutique, SB. I had to add the SB because somebody else had his spell boutique taken already. But
okay.
And what else?
So I'm going to, for newbies that are starting and they're thinking about pre-sales, what are three tips of advice that you would give your newbie entrepreneur friend who's like, oh my gosh, I want to do these pre-sales. That looks fascinating to me. I don't have a lot of money to invest, so that's great to be able to get the money beforehand. What are some tips that you would give?
Okay, well, first is select the product that you are happy about, because you're going to see that product always, and you're going to deal with that product. So select the product that you're really excited about. Secondly, you need to create a buzz. You need to create a fuss. You need to create that something's coming, something's happening. And the third one is go for it. Don't be afraid. Every single month, I go through the 7, 5, 3, 2, 1, tonight's pre-order night. So I live in a constant pre-selling and countdown every single month. And it creates excitement. And I try to make it fun. I give tips and clues of what's coming in the new collection. Sometimes I play this little, you know, this little GIF that with princesses, sentences or quotes. And then it's try to make it fun for the people that are receiving the message. And it happens every single month. So every month I am going through the process of pre-order. So if you've seen my Instagram right now, you can see the countdown: 5 days, 4 days, 3 days. And then I reinforce that with stories. I share that with my fan page. And then I share that into my group as well. So I try to see it in all fronts, and also through my email list. I send that information as well, so everybody's informed of what's happening. And it's exciting for them. They like the clues. They like the fun, the 3, 2, 1. And then
you've gamified it. Mm-hmm. You've made it a game, and everybody loves to play games. Yes, so good, Vanessa. Oh my gosh, what a blessing you have been to talk about licensing, pre-selling, your journey. Would you mind telling us about how many packages you sold? You don't have to give us a number amount, but about how many packages that you've been able to ship in a little over a year. Do you know that number?
Oh, wow. I don't, but I can tell you we go over 400 to 500 orders per month. And every order has an average of 3 to 5 items, maybe. So so we are close. I give you, let me show that number because I'm curious now. I think we are close to the 450 in a year.
$450,000 in sales?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. In 1 year, almost $500,000.
In a year. Yeah. So, okay.
So what does your husband say now? Can I just ask you that? Like, you've been to this project?
Yeah, he thought it was a hobby at the beginning. and in all honesty, one sale started to come, and I think he noticed the first time I made a large purchase, I mean, my garage, that was last year at the beginning. Now I have a warehouse where I can go in. But at the beginning, with my garage was filled with boxes and they were all sold out, that's when he noticed.
He's like, what? Well, okay. This is like, not a hobby.
He's like, what are we going to do with 500 boxes? And I'm like, don't worry, they are sold. So that's when he was like, oh, okay. So then he, yeah, I mean, of course, he changed his approach to my business.
I bet he's jumping up and down for you.
He's excited. He's happy. Sometimes he has to go to the store to pick up some items and bring them to me. And then he's like, yeah, I mean, he feels he's part of it in a way. And now I'm paying my salary. So I'm my salary from my company, I am depositing in our account. So he's happy to receive Spill Boutique's monthly income payment.
Oh, that's awesome. So fun. Congratulations. Oh, you have one more thing? Go for it.
Yeah, I have a code to share.
Oh, you do?
I would love to offer a code for our viewers today.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so if you go to our website and if there's anything that you like, you can use SPELL15 for a 15% off for you, Allison, for this group only.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you want me to add this to the podcast or just for those that are listening live?
No, no, that's fine. They can use it. Yep.
Okay.
15% off on anything and anything on my site. Just make sure that if it's a pre-order, the time frame for delivery, it's going to be there in the description.
Yeah, you got to be clear on when people should expect it, huh?
Yeah.
Everybody's used to Prime of what, 2 days? Prime shipping.
Yeah, exactly. So this generation, well, we're all used to 2 days. Yeah. So some customers are really impatient, and I had to create an pre-order update page for them to be up to date. So whenever they need to know, they have to go there and check. Because initially I used to have complaints about, well, what about my pre-order? Where is it? And sometimes I didn't have the information from the supplier. And so what I do is I have this page where I send every customer that has a question. So whatever is coming within the next week is there. Whatever is coming within the next month is there. And then, of course, we work with timeframes. We don't know when it's going to come until we have like a shipping confirmation from our supplier. And that's when the item, I know it's going to come and I know I'm going to deliver it within a week or so.
So you're very, very clear about expectations.
I have to manage expectations because customers can feel, you know, I pre-order a month ago. What happened with my item? Where is it? And they can get, some of them get pretty upset, especially the people that are new into pre-ordering.
Yep.
But those that are used to, or if they've been collecting for a long time, they know how it works.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Okay. Such good information. Thank you. Thanks for being on with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, you guys, I hope you took mad notes. I love seeing Jennifer trying to get her dog out of the door that kept sneaking in. And Susan bouncing her baby on her lap. You guys, like, I love that we're all together. And Vanessa is right with us. She was where you were a year, or where you are. She was just there a year ago. And she leaned into her resources. And that was following her heart and then looking into pre-sales and then using her garage until she could get a warehouse. There's so many different options that we can do in building our business around our lifestyle and our dream, no matter where you're at, like there's an opportunity for you. So Vanessa, so many hugs. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Allison. Thank you.
Woo, that was a fun podcast. Ah, I love pre-sales. And we're going to dive into the top 10 takeaways, because with pre-selling, you've really got to do pre-sales with trusted manufacturers. And that's what I'm starting the top 10 takeaways with, is if you've never worked with a manufacturer before, or a wholesaler or a supplier, don't do it on round one. You've got to learn about that manufacturer, wholesaler, supplier first. Okay. Which leads me to number two. When you start with pre-sales, heck, when you ever start with selling anything, make sure you're starting with small quantities. Test the product out, because those small tests are going to give you insight on how you choose products coming up. Number three, each merchant, supplier, wholesaler is going to have their specific rules on what you can and can't do. And you have to follow them, because if you don't, they can boot you out. Number four, keep your customers informed of the ship dates and any updates that are happening. Vanessa created a whole page to keep her customers informed that she's constantly updating for people to find out when their products are going to arrive to them. Number five, your friends were not given the vision that you have. So if they discount your idea, guess what? You can just smile and move along. You don't have to internalize what they're telling you. You are given your dream for a specific reason. Number six, make sure you sell a product that you're happy with. Don't sell junk. Don't sell knockoffs. Don't sell imitations. Sell what makes you happy and what your customers are going to be happy with. Number seven, create a buzz before you sell. The old thing that Kevin Costner taught us about, if you build it, they will come, is a lie. No, you've got to tell people. You've got to send out invitations. You've got to let the world know that your sell, your product, your promotion, your store is about to open or start. Number eight, gamify it. Who doesn't love playing a little game or having a little bit of a challenge to get a product? gamify it by saying, hey, it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, now it's open. Go, go, go before they sell out. Gamify it. And you can do that. You notice how Vanessa did it with just a countdown and wasn't a big percentage off. A lot of people think they have to have big percentages off to get their stores up and running. Vanessa just proved that that's not the case. It's not the case. Number 9, she went and found her customers from Facebook groups. And she looked into collectors of the Disney products that she was wanting to sell, which leads me to number 10, find companies that you can work with that have licenses that give you permission. You have to go through that process. Don't just start selling licensed product like Disney or NFL or Marvel or Avengers, any of that stuff. You've got to have the correct license so that you don't end up in hot water. All right. Oh, that was so good. I love, love, love pre-sales. Like I said in the beginning, it helped me to get some cash really flowing into my business. But there are some red flags, some cautions that you have to do. And in the top 10 takeaway, I covered the majority of them. I can't cover everything because every situation is going to be different, but start with these and get started on your pre-sales to help that cash coming in. All right. Hope you have a beautiful, marvelous day going out there, making money, put it in your pocket. Why? Because you can. All right. I'll talk to you next week. Bye. Oh, that was so much fun. Thank you so much for listening to Because I Can podcast. If you haven't already downloaded the Because I Can bundle, then head over to becauseicanlife.com/bundle. The only place you can get access to your personalized bundle. So head over there now and download it. I look forward to you joining next time on the Because I Can podcast. We'll see you then.